We had our own swimming pool and it was nearby the beach. After the war started, everything changed for us. My goal was to build a good future so I can show my parents there was a really good reason to leave everything behind.
You're listening to the Start With Your Name podcast. I'm your host, Lee Kaplan. I became an immigrant in 2020 when I moved from Brooklyn, New York to my new home in the Netherlands. With every episode of this podcast, immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers will have an opportunity to share their story. And we will have an opportunity to listen. Just to listen. And perhaps gain new insights into what it's like to leave everything behind and start all over again. Each episode is an exploration of someone's lived experience, their background, their hopes and dreams, and the story of what brought them to a new country far from home. And that begins, quite simply, with their name. Today's episode, Yasmin. I meet up with Yasmin inside a subway metro station in Amsterdam. Only moments after she arrives, and before I can even get her microphone properly set up, she extends an invitation.
We'll go first to a hidden place. It's my safe place, so we will go there.
She invites me to come visit what she describes as her safe place, a place she goes when she feels stressed and needs to decompress. I definitely didn't expect that, and I'm intrigued. I walk with her about 5 minutes from the station and arrive at a cozy stretch of grass beside a canal in Amsterdam, surrounded by buildings where Yasmin attends classes.
Wow. So yes. This is your safe place?
Yes, this is my safe place. Oh, usually they have a swing over here, but someone took it off.
It occurs to me at this moment that I also seek out safe places that make me feel comfortable, especially when my surroundings are unfamiliar. When Yasmin mentions that someone had removed her favorite swing, I have a passing thought about how this safe place had been disturbed. I file it away for the moment as she continues.
I always have a book with me, and I sit over the swing and read my book.
And when did you start coming here?
So at the beginning of my university started, so that was 3 years ago.
Yasmin is a fiercely strong, independent, entrepreneurial 22-year-old Syrian woman in her final year of a business management university program in Amsterdam, taught entirely in Dutch. She's got two sisters and a brother, and she's already working as a freelancer and launching a business venture even before she's graduated. She's also a self-taught English speaker, and she's now fluent in Arabic, Dutch, and English.
My name is Yasmin. After the name of the capital city of Syria, the city of Yasmin, the city of Jasmine.
So the city itself was the inspiration for your name?
Yes, yes. It's the jasmine flowers. You can see it everywhere in the city of Damascus, on the walls, on the buildings, everywhere. And you can smell it also everywhere. It has a very nice smell. I'm originally from Banyas. It's a small city at the coastal area in Syria. It's a very nice city. It's surrounded by mountains. And also around the city has historical places. And we have also a big castle in the mountain. And the view of the castle is immediately to the city. It's very, very nice place. The nature is amazing there. We really had a very nice life before the war started in Syria. We had our own swimming pool and it was nearby the beach. So I spend most of my time swimming there and just in the nature. This is everything. And to be also surrounded by family and friends, because also it's a very small city, so everyone knows each other. Family is everything for us. I really have nice bond with my family. It's not just my parents and my siblings, but all the family, all my cousins, all my grandma, grandfather, everyone was around me. This was my life.
I ask her whether she had special places in Banyas, just like she has in Amsterdam.
I have many special places there. For sure, one is at the beach, because I really loved spending time there. It's amazing. And I really miss it. After the war started, everything changed for us. I was 12 years old. I still remember every second and every moment when the war started, because in my city, it was really affected by the war. The first place who start protesting was in our city, the small city. This one of the smallest cities, yes.
The place where you're from is where the first protest took place.
Where I came from, yeah.
And this was in 2000?
It was in 2011. This is when the protest starts. But the people were very peaceful and they started protesting with roses. They had roses in their hands and they hauled the roses and saying just freedom, freedom. This is the only thing that they said, freedom. After that, everything collapsed and everything changed, and it went from a peaceful protest to a very violent area. The area was really affected.
When you say that everything changed, why did it change? Is it because the regime came in and started to beat down the protests?
Yes. They started to kill all the family of the young people, young men who were protesting. So this is when the war started, when people wanted to have their rights back. Like, why are you killing us? What did we do to you? We're only here just to fight for our rights.
What does a 12-year-old make of war breaking out in your own city?
12 years old is a sensitive age. Everything you see, it stays in your mind and it affects you for all your life. So what was I seeing did really stays in my mind, and I really never forget that. One image was when the children wanted to protest also, because the war started when one young boy, he was 12 years old, and because he said the word freedom, they took him and they killed him. So children wanted to protest against that. So I started also with my friends, and all the schools started to protest after the schools. It gave us a strong energy. But then the image that I still remember is that when the police came after us and ran into us, we started to run and knocking the people's door just to let us in.
So you and a group of other children were being chased by the police,
yes,
because you were protesting.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get away?
Yeah, I entered to a house where I don't know who the people was, where, but I entered to that house. I didn't have any choice.
Were you by yourself or with somebody else?
I was by myself, yes. And I waited a couple of hours till the police is gone, yeah.
So this happens to you, and I suspect that you told your family.
Yes, I did.
And how did they react?
They were very angry because they knew it's not safe to do such a thing.
Were they angry at you?
Yes, of course, because they can lose me if I do things like this.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
At what point, how long after the war started, did your parents come around to the idea that, okay, we can't stay here anymore?
At the beginning, we thought it's gonna end in a few days. And then the few days started to be months. And then the months started to be years. So after 1.5 years of hoping that everything will end, we saw that there was no end. The basic needs were hard to find, and they were cutting electricity, water, and gas every day for more than 20 hours a day.
20 hours a day with all of those utilities cut off?
Yes, it's still until now like this after 13 years. Every day, they only have like 5 hours, 4 hours of electricity. Actually, my city has a lot of gas and has a lot of the main source of electricity in whole Syria. But still, people don't get electricity from there. The government wants to cut the electricity just to, I don't know, to punish the people. And schools were not a very safe place. So that's when my parents thought it could be a good idea if we leave the country and leave everything behind and go to any place.
So what did they do?
We had only 1 hour to pack everything and leave everything behind and try to flee.
Yasmin tells me that by this point, the situation was getting worse by the minute, and they'd heard that tanks were on their way to the city to attack. This is the reason for their urgency in getting out.
We couldn't pack anything, actually. Only some clothes that we can put on and some photos. So we still have some memories with us. After that, we left and my parents never came back.
How did you get out?
We paid a lot because we had the chance to go out of Syria, but not all the people had that chance. And my family were like a wealthy family and they did have some money with them. So we paid a lot in the border just to go out. We didn't knew our last destination and we didn't have actually a destination. We just wanted to find a suitable place for us where we can find safety and a good future.
And you're 13.
Yeah, I was like 13 years. Yeah, 12, 13 years.
Right. Uh-huh. So you crossed the border of Syria into?
Into Lebanon. We tried to live in Lebanon, but Lebanon was not a suitable place because there was no safety and there was not a very good future to build there. So we went to Egypt. It was a nice place there, but there was no future.
When you say no future, what does that mean?
That we don't have enough sources to get well educated and that my parents have chances to have like a work or work opportunities.
Are you traveling from place to place in cars? How are you?
Yeah,
are you...
So first we were traveling from our city. It was 2 hours, only 2 hours from our city to Lebanon. And then after we stayed there, we went by the plane to Egypt. And then we stayed there like for 6 months and we didn't like it because they didn't want Syrian people to be there. So we went to Turkey also by the plane and we stayed there also for like 1 year. Turkey was nice, but the people were not very nice to us. And there was actually a good future to build over there. And it was a safe place, but you don't feel that you are welcome. That feeling that you are belong, you can't get it from there. So that's when my family decided we should consider Europe.
How are you feeling at this point about leaving your country behind?
Yeah, I actually did not knew that I will leave it for so long. And I didn't, it was hard for me because I didn't say goodbye to all my friends and all my family. I thought I would be out just for months, like few months. It's now 10 years that I didn't went to Syria.
Yasmin Yasmin's story continues in part two. Here's a preview.
Yes, I lost everything, and my family also lost everything they have built for years. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the chance to start again and again and again.